Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10, we are reading a familiar passage. Many of you would even have this memorized. And so he starts off by saying, finally, my brethren. In other words, he had been talking to him. As a matter of fact, he had been talking to him for a whole entire letter. And he had a whole lot to say in that book. And then when he comes towards the end of it, he said, finally. In other words, he's going to give a closing. And so he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me just stop right there. I'm going to continue on, but this is my first message because this just popped out at me right now, so we're just going to hit it. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But he said, we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise God. My battle isn't with my brother. My battle isn't with my sister. Amen. Praise God. And if that's the way that it seems, then there is motivation from a spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I could preach a whole message right there. Praise God. But I'm going to move on because that's not the will of God for today. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise God. Amen. Now the long side or the short side of all of this is that we can look unto the whole armor of God. And we can see that every one of those are a representation of Christ. It's representation of God. He said, having your loins girt about with truth, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. He is the Word. We are sanctified by the Word. The breastplate of righteousness, he is our righteousness, Paul said. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, he is the Prince of Peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. He is my shield. Amen. And wherewith you shall be able to quench. And take on the helmet of salvation. Amen. He is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. Of whom shall I fear? Amen. But the Bible talks about that he is our salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. It's all a representation of God. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about my shield of faith. My shield of faith. Praise God. Can we ask the Lord to help us here today? God of heaven, we need you. We need your spirit. We need your help. We need your touch today. I pray, God, that the anointing of your spirit would be upon the word tonight. God, that you would help it, God, to sink down deep in our hearts. Anoint our hearts. Anoint our ears. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive it. God, give us a spirit, Lord, to apply it and then to do it, I pray. I pray, God, that your word would be mixed with faith tonight and that it would not return void, but that it would do what it has been set forth to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that faith is going to be a major ingredient for this church. Not just for this church. I believe that faith is an ingredient for all churches, for all people. For the Bible teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that believeth, praise the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we've got to hear the word of God. That is why it is important for you to be in church, praise God. And I know that we've got this little band app that's going on, and I know that there are those that are listening to it on band right now. But I would admonish all of us that we need to be in the house of God. You will not get off of band what you will get in the house of God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am thankful for technology. I'm thankful that we have the ability to do that. Amen. But sometimes I think that things and such like that become a crutch unto us, and that we just fall back upon it. Praise the Lord. And any little sickness causes us to say, well, I'll just stay home and I can just listen in on band. Just understand that the ways of the enemy is to do whatever he can to get you out or to keep you out of church. Praise God. And so it is very, very important. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verse number 25, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but that we should exhort one another. And then he said it like this: even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise God. Amen. And that approaching, we're talking about the coming of the Lord. And so we need to do our best to be in the house of God. All of that was free. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But you have to understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And how shall you hear without a preacher? And so you need preaching in your life, that word of God. Now let me just go ahead and just put the kibosh. Amen. But the kibosh on all of this too as well. Somebody said, well, I'll just stay home and I'll listen to all kinds of preaching, and I'll just tune into this preacher, and I'll just tune into this preacher, and I'll tune into this church and listen to this. Amen. None of that is for you. It's not for you. It may be good. It may be good, and it may have its good points and such, and you may be able to glean things out of it. Amen. But the home church, I feel that spirit here today. Go ahead and start eating virtually. Yeah. Go ahead and just eat virtually. Go ahead and stay home and order, you know, from Pizza Hut or Pie Pies or from, just go ahead and order from your favorite restaurant. Amen. Order it on the house and just eat it virtually. And see how much strength that you get from all of that. Amen. This is the same way. Praise God. Praise God. If you tune into a different city in a different place and hear that preaching, you got to understand that preaching is for that church. It's for that church. And any pastor, just hear me tonight. Praise God. I'm going to kick the devil in the teeth. Any pastor that reaches outside of the boundaries of their church and into another church is out of order. They're out of order if they reach out of the boundaries of their church and into another church trying to pull people out of that church. You say, well, you don't have Bible for that. I got enough Bible to prove all of that. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. We're ethical. We believe in ethics. Amen. We don't believe in stealing sheep and all of that other stuff. Praise God. Where did all this come from? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, David was condemned. David condemned the sheep thief for that stuff. So this one over here, he just had one, and this one over here had a lot, and he went over there and stole the one, and David said he needs to pay. As a matter of fact, the Lord said he should pay back fourfold. That's what the Bible said. He should pay back fourfold. So if he took one, he owes four. And if he took two, he owes eight. Praise God. If he took a family of six, he owes 24. Praise God. Well, that's, Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what Paul, when he wrote unto Philemon, he concerning Onesimus, he said, you know, he said, Onesimus could serve me well right here. And he said, you know, I could really use him right here. He could be used right here. He said, but nevertheless, not without you saying that he can come here. He's going back to you. Praise God. Amen. Well, that's still good preaching. That's still, amen, that's still Bible. That's still the truth. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You're not going to have anybody that's going to love you more than your own pastor. Amen. And I just put that out there. Anybody that listens to whatever and stuff, I'm not going to love you more than your own pastor loves you. And nobody in this church is going to love you more than I'm going to love you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. It gets dangerous around here when we get off the notes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, that was free too. Amen, 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 amen. But you need to be in church so that you can hear the preaching of the Word of God and the anointing that is there. And the anointing destroys the yokes of bondage. You need preaching that'll preach the devil off of you, that'll preach fear out of your mind, that'll preach anxiety off of you. You need preaching that'll get in your business. You need preaching, amen, that'll arrest your attention. You need preaching that'll straighten you out and get you going in the right way. Amen. And I am not exempt from any of that. I need to be able to preach myself into the altars. I need to be able to preach myself into an altar of repentance so that I can be saved. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so we need preachers, amen, that will preach unto us. And thank God for that. And through that preached word of God, faith comes unto us. And it helps us and it strengthens us. And we've got to have that. And so the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said, above all, that does not mean that faith is the most important necessarily, even though faith has its importance. And without faith, no man shall, without faith, you cannot please the Lord. Praise God. So you've got to have faith. But the above all or overall simply was a sort of universal covering to every other part of the armor itself. And it continually exercises a strong and lively faith. And this you may use as a shield, which is going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or the furious temptations and the violent and the sudden injections of the devil. And so the Lord lets us know that we are to take this shield of faith, and the shield of faith is going to be able to cover not only my weaknesses, but it's also going to be able to cover the breastplate of righteousness. It's also going to be able to cover, amen, the loins that are girt about with truth. Amen. That it protects my righteousness is the breastplate there, and it protects my heart. But there is a shield of faith that I am to take and that I am to use, and that shield of faith is even going to be a protector of the last line of defense, the breastplate of righteousness that I have on. That shield of faith is an obstruction to the fiery darts of the wicked to hit that breastplate of righteousness and to penetrate it. And so the idea is clear that it is the shield that is used to cover and to protect everything about me. And so faith has a similar importance in the Christian virtues. As he said, above all, taking the shield of faith so that I can be able to quench
the fiery darts of the wicked. I have already pointed out that much, and that all of this whole armor of God is a representation of Christ, in that he is my righteousness, and that he is truth, and that he is the Prince of Peace, amen, and that he is the sword of the Spirit, and that he is the helmet of salvation, amen. But he also is my shield. As a matter of fact, David said in 2 Samuel 22:2, David said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." David kind of goes ahead and gives us insight that it is the Lord being the shield that is able to save us from the violence of the wicked. Amen. David said in Psalms 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Psalms 119:14, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." 144:1, "Blessed is the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness, my fortress, my tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Amen. Psalms 27:1-5. Let me read here tonight. Amen. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon the rock." Amen. Psalms 18:2. David said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and high tower." That word buckler just simply means, amen, shield, amen. And David said that the Lord is my shield. Praise God. No wonder that the prophet would write and that he would say, "No weapon that is formed against me shall be able to prosper. For every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord." And so the principle is crystal clear that the Lord is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my tabernacle. He is my my protection. He is about me. Amen. Amen. And therefore, when the enemy rises up against me, David will even say, "To eat of my flesh." Amen. He said, "The Lord is that stopping agent. The Lord is that defense, that before you can come and begin to challenge the righteousness that I have put on, not my righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but the righteousness of God, the breastplate of righteousness. Before you can challenge that, there is a shield that you've got to go through, that shield of faith that is there that the Lord has put. And David had this revelation, as he said oftentimes, that the Lord is my shield. He is my hiding place, my shield, my strength that teacheth my hands to war, my deliverer, my shield, the light of my salvation. And he goes on, and what he is saying is, hey enemy, you cannot get to me as long as I've got the shield of faith. He didn't know at that point in time that it was the shield of faith, but God in his righteousness, he knew. Hallelujah. And so what are we saying? God is saying, I'll be your shield as long as you have faith in me. When you have faith that is in me, there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall be able to prosper. I'm going to be your shield. In other words, God is saying, if you'll trust in me with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge me, I'm going to protect you. No matter what the enemy throws your way, I'm going to protect you. I'm here tonight to tell you, my faith is in God. And I know that the enemy would love to stir up trouble. And I know that the enemy would like to throw problems our way. And I know that the enemy would like to try his best to come against the church. But we have got a shield. And our shield is God Almighty. And in this will I be confident. I am confident that whatever comes my way, God is able to take care of it. I'm confident that no matter what it is, I've got a God that knows where I am. I've got a God that sees where I am. I've got a God that from the heavens, he looks down and he sees the enemy. The enemy isn't going to sneak up on me as long as I've got faith in God.
Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. These shields were large, sometimes covering the entire body, and they were made of wood and covered with some kind of metal at different times. Other times they were just covered with the hide of an animal, such as an ox. They were heavy and sometimes required extra time to pick up if they were not set down correctly. In other words, they did not just take these shields and just throw them to the side. Did not just take these shields and just simply lay them down. But these shields oftentimes were put on what we would know today more along the lines of a tripod. Amen. Some type of rod that was there to hold them up. In other words, I can get to it easily. That in a moment's notice I can grab it and I don't have to wrestle it up into position. Amen. And off and out of the ground. Amen. But I've got it set in a strategic place, and I'm going to rest here because I know that if the enemy comes in, all I've got to do is kind of roll over, sit up, and grab my shield. It's there in a moment's notice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. I do not think that it is ironic that the tabernacle that was in the wilderness was covered with badger skins. That tabernacle was a representation of God, but it was a representation of Christ, but it was a shield that was there. It was a shield that protected the righteousness of God. It was a shield that protected everything that they had contracted
confidence, amen, in those things. Hallelujah. Rolled in badger skins. There was no beauty about that. We know that Christ came out as a tender plant, amen, and that there was no beauty about him that we should desire him. These shields were made of wood, which in the Old Testament was a representation of flesh. My Bible teaches me that God was manifest in the flesh. And if you want to say covered in some type of skin, we could say that he was robed in flesh. Amen. And we could go beyond that. And we could say that Isaiah 25 or 53 and 2. Amen. I'm sorry. Isaiah 25 and 1. That there was no beauty about him that we should desire him. But if we want to flip it over and say that it was flesh covered in, amen, in gold, or flesh covered in some type of precious metal, we know, amen, that he was deity. Amen, he was covered, amen, by the flesh, but yet he was deity. Praise God. Amen. We could talk about the pureness of the gold that was represented there. But the Bible says, amen, that Christ, amen, was the anointed one, signifying even from Isaiah 53, as he said, amen, that they were to take that shield and they were to anoint the shield. Isaiah 25, I've got all this mixed up. I'm so far off my notes it ain't even funny. But Isaiah 25, amen, that they should anoint the shield. Anoint the shield. And so you've got that anointing oil that they would come up to, and they would place that oil over that skin that was there. That was not just to put out the fiery darts of the wicked, but it was also to make it slick so that when it came in, and if it didn't come straight, it would defer it and cause it to come at an angle or go off to the side. There was purpose about that. As he said, you're going to have to do some things. Can I preach to you here for a little while tonight that we've got a responsibility about the shield of faith, and that God is my shield, but I cannot just rely that God is my shield. You understand that the shield is the shield whether I have faith in it or not, whether I believe in it or not. God is all powerful whether I believe in it or not. God is a healer whether I believe it or not. God is the answer. God is a provider. God is the banner. God is the way where there seems to be no way, whether I believe it or not. But I've got a responsibility to anoint that shield. I got to spend some time with that shield. I've got to take the anointing oil and I've got to rub it into the. Can I just say tonight that the more familiar you get with your shield, amen, the more intricate that you get with your shield and know your shield, the more you're going to trust in your shield. Praise God. Praise God. I've come to tear down the walls of doubt. I've come to tear down the walls of unbelief. And I just submit, to you tonight that the only reason that doubt has got a space in our heart, the only reason that unbelief has got a spot in our heart, is because that we're not familiar with our shield. But the more I get from you, need to spend more time in the Word of God. And the more time you spend in the Word of God, the greater revelation you're going to have. You see, what the problem is a lot of times is that we sit down the Word of God and we push it off to the side, and we are surrounded by our enemies, and all that we can see, amen, is this host to the north, to the south, the east, and the west, and all that we can see, amen, is all of the enemy that is there about us. We can only see our problems, only see our circumstance, only see our situation. But David, even in the caves, David, in the midst of all of his problems, he had a revelation of God that he would be able to say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I wish somebody would get a little bit of faith in God. Faith that supersedes your problem. Faith that supersedes your dilemma. Faith that supersedes your circumstances. Faith that supersedes even your prayer. No matter what I bring unto God, I've got a revelation that God has the power to answer it.
Oh, let's magnify him today.
I feel faith in this house tonight. I feel faith. I'm not going to preach very much longer here today. But some of you have seemed to be overwhelmed by your problem. And God is saying, I want you to trust me when you can't find me. I want you to rely on my character when you don't understand my methods. I don't want you to doubt. I don't want you to pull away. I want you to put it in my hands and let me quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I've just got faith here tonight. Amen. I've got faith that at some point in time there is going to be healing virtue that's going to flow into Sister Stacy's body. I've got faith that healing is going to flow into Sister Tiffany's body. I've got faith that Brother Deontay, your mom, is going to come to church. I've got faith that God's going to heal your sister and raise her up out of a wheelchair. I've got faith that Jessica Phillips is going to come and pray through and stick right here. I've got faith that Karen Alley is going to come and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I've got faith. I've got faith. How can you say that, preacher? I know my God. I know my God. And there is nothing that he cannot do. There is no problem that he can't fix. Hallelujah! 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 Oh. Shama, you're ignorant. Southern vernacular. You're ignorant for standing out there in the face of 1,000 Philistines. Amen. Shammah said, I got faith in God. What about Saul, surrounded by the Philistines? And he chooses to hide. He chooses to lay low. And he dares anybody to venture out. But here's Jonathan. And Jonathan is there at the garrison of the Philistines. And Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and says, you know what? Why? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Why don't we just put this in God's hands? Why don't we just put this in God's hands? And he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to say that we're going to show ourselves. And the Philistines say, come, then we're going to know that God's saying this. But if the Philistines do this, then we're going to know that God says this. We're going to trust in the Lord, our God. And sure enough, in between a rock and a hard place. Because that's what the Bible said. They was in, between two pillars, between two set of stones, between a rock and a hard place. And they stood up and they said, hey, here we are over here. And what happened? The Philistines, said what had to be said. And what happened then? God gave the battle unto Jonathan. And Jonathan was able to defeat the Philistines. That's where some of you are. Right now, you're between a rock and a hard place. You're in a place, that you don't know what to do. And you've got a decision of whether you're going to play the part of Saul or you're going to play the part of Jonathan. But all three man. I would that new life would get a revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus and understand that there is nothing that shall be able to overtake, to overcome, and to overwhelm. There is nothing, amen, that can overcome us. And so we come before the Lord of hosts, and we are believing in him, and we know that he has all things, and that he can do all things. And so if the devil stands, and the devil is roaring, and the devil is huffing and puffing, and ready to blow your house down, I'm encouraging you to stand up and say, devil, God is still in control of my life. God is still the author and the finisher of my life. God still has the final say-so in my life. Oh, let's lift him up today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wish somebody would go ahead and stand up right now. Amen. The devil has been beating you down. The devil has been trying, amen, to get you to throw it in. The devil has been trying to get you to be fearful. The devil has begun to get you to question, when is this going to end? Is it ever going to end? You need to get familiar with your shield. You need to get familiar with your God and know that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Let's stand and love him today.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Now listen, I can do my best to have faith for you, but it's not like having your own faith. You see, I can pick up my shield of faith and I can try to protect you, but I can't protect you like your shield of faith can. Just think about it. Just think about it. And as a pastor, I stand on the wall and I see the enemy launching in the fiery darts of the wicked. And I'm up here and I'm trying to knock this fiery dart out and trying to get this one to go off to the side and trying to get this one to go off the side, because I see the enemy trying to squelch your faith. The enemy is trying to hit you with a dart of doubt and to knock you down. And you've been going through your situation for quite some time. And you're wondering to yourself, I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. Amen. And you sit there. You sit there and hiding. I'm telling you tonight in the Holy Ghost, amen, even as Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, finally, my brethren. And then he said, take unto you the whole armor of God. Whoa, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Some of you have laid down your shield of faith, and now the fiery darts of the wicked are hitting the righteousness of God. Amen. And you're beginning to question the things of God. You're beginning to question other things of the church and other things of God. It's time for you to pick up your shield of faith. Now you listen to what I'm saying. The first thing in the shield of faith that you're going to have to do is turn off the voice of the enemy, because the enemy likes to stir up trouble. The enemy likes to stir up division. The enemy likes to stir up old emotions. The enemy loves to stir up confusion. And it's time to tell the devil to shut up. And I know that may offend somebody, but that's about what you need to do. You need to get sick and tired of the devil telling you what and how your life is going to be ran. And you need to tell the devil to find his place to sit down, that you're not listening to him. Don't let the devil sow confusion in your mind. Don't let the devil stir up old feelings in your mind. Don't let the devil will stir up division among the brethren and the sisters in your mind. You need to stand up and take unto you the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm done. I can't do anymore. It's in your hands tonight. It's in your hands tonight. You can't live off of my faith alone. You cannot live off of my faith alone. You're going to have to get frequent with the word. And I feel the boldness of the Spirit that some of you, I'm going to tell you how close to victory you are. It's time for you to tell the devil to take the back seat and to stop. And it's time for you to step out in Jesus' name. Because every time you think you got the victory, the devil just, bing, beats you over the head and back down you go. You say, well, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it comes from. Open up your eyes. And you're going to see that it's the same source over and over and over and over and over. The same source over and over and over and over and over. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. Hallelujah. Well, the devil's trying to stop this about right now, but I need somebody to go ahead and take up the shield of faith. Hallelujah. I defy that spirit of doubt right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I defy that stronghold right now. That stronghold that's in your life. I defy, I come against that stronghold in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you want victory over it, you can have victory over it. You just got to stand up and say enough is enough, and you got to step out. Hallelujah. But as long as you keep making excuses for it, it's going to continue to control you. It's going to continue to rule you. You do not rule it. It rules you. But if you can stand up against it and you can say, tonight is the night that my life changes. Tonight is the night that my future changes. Tonight is the night that things in all of my family begin to change. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that God is ready to do great things. Come on, we cannot live off of the faith of the pastor alone. Cannot live off of the faith of the preacher alone. Somewhere or another, Paul was writing to the church and he said, you've got to take up the shield of faith. You've got to pick up the shield of faith. You've got to pick up the shield of faith. Come on, press through. Press through. Press through in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.